It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Happy Waiver Wednesday to all of you who celebrate.
Should I be closing my tabs here of transactions on Yahoo?
You want to talk it through? Why you spent what you spent? Why you did what you did? Let's talk about what you got and what you didn't get. Let's talk about your free agent offers that hit and that didn't. If you spent too much money, we'll be here to talk you down.
Your league is living under a rock if he is still available.
It's worth a flyer. It's one of those, if anybody's going to make that mistake, it's going to be me.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the Home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, time to check. Sorry, I forgot about Waiver Wednesday.
Waiver Wednesday. How could you forget?
I know. I'm in two guillotine leagues. I was in three. I got knocked out in one of them. I'm going to see who I got.
Then you should be paying even more attention, I think, to that guillotine league.
Oh, sweet. I did. I got.
What'd you get?
No, I didn't. Doesn't look like it. I was after Jaden Reed in guillotine.
Ah.
It's guillotine, folks. He's not available in other leagues. It was after Jaden Reed. Does not look like I got him.
No. I got Dontavian Wicks in our guillotine league, another Packer receiver that had 13 targets last week.
All right.
With Christian Watson going down with an injury. Did not get Dak Prescott, apparently. Come on. There's a bidding war on Dak Prescott. I mean, there's a bidding war on everybody, I guess, technically.
I've got... Oh, Diggs went for a big number. So did Joe Mixon. Anyway.
I threw a bid down on Diggs. I was thinking, I've got bye weeks. Like, let me put him in there. He's going to get 7 catches. He might only get me 50 yards, but the Bills are going to, you know, take away the big play, right?
Yeah.
If they take away the big play, who's catching the football?
Diggs.
Diggs underneath. But I did not get him.
Who's catching the football? Devontae Adams is catching the football because the Texans will just add another receiver.
Oh, wow. I wasn't even close. It's a $1,000 budget. I bid 78. He went for 269.
Yeah, I saw that.
Holy cow.
Well, good morning. It's raining. How about that? A little wet morning. It's supposed to, you know, get nice and dry.
Most might wake up and not even notice it.
No, that's right.
By the time they're out.
It rained overnight. Yeah, if you've got, you'll notice maybe some puddles. The car's wet. But it's supposed to get nice today. 60s. Nice and cool. Nice fall day. And we've got a big show. We've got Sal coming up at 7. Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast, is 7:30. We're expecting to touch base with Lindy Ruff. So we'll talk to the Sabres head coach or have a Sabres-based weekly conversation on Tuesdays. They moved it to Wednesday. So we're hoping to get Lindy today at 8 o'clock as they're over practicing ahead of their season opener, which is now 2 days away.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be in Prague. So
practicing right now even
because
of the time difference.
So Lindy Ruff coming up at 8. And it's also International Love is Blind Day. We made it, folks.
Okay.
Thank you, all of you that celebrate with me for International Love is Blind Day. You can binge probably, you know, 4 episodes-ish. I haven't checked. But
How long will it take you? There's 4 episodes?
Yeah, it'll take a long time.
To watch 4 episodes?
Yeah, like 4 days. I mean, it's an hour.
An episode a day?
Yeah, I don't anticipate going in a double, you know, dipping in right away.
You're not just right there all in one run.
No, because then you got to wait longer for the next set of episodes. Think about the controlled binge is when they release 4 or 6 at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's, 6 more episodes come in 3 weeks. Might as well, you know,
the controlled binge.
Space it out.
Have you ever done that with a show, though, where you just in one swipe, like, right through it?
Yeah, sure. Plenty.
COVID would have been an opportunity for many to, I think, do this. Just watch a Tiger King. We all did it with Tiger King.
Yeah, it's a good one.
And the Jordan documentary. So we all did it at least once.
That's right. That's right. Well, good morning. Happy Wednesday, Jeremy and Joe. Josh Schmidt producing. We're hanging out. So what? Do we talk about a Devontae Adams idea?
I think we talk about it at least, right?
There is a
star receiver in the NFL that is like not even just trade rumors, like he's on the trade market.
Yeah.
It sounds like or feels like both sides want to be done. Adams reportedly yesterday like he prefers to be traded, and that comes a day after his head coach liked a tweet about him playing his final game for the Raiders.
Yes.
So I don't think the coach wants him there, and I don't think the player wants to be there. So he's definitely getting moved.
I do not think the Bills will consider this. I don't think the Bills will...
Consider?
Nah, not really. No, I don't think they'll consider it. No.
Like, you wouldn't think they pick up the phone?
No, I don't. Not for this one.
Why is that? Just because of the age? Because of
the age,
timing?
The age and the money. And the thing about the Bills right now is they have spent a lot of time representing that they don't want this approach.
Mm-hmm.
And if they went out and traded for Davante Adams, it would all just be proven to be bogus. Like, oh, wait, yeah, we didn't really mean it.
But eventually that's coming.
Eventually.
Like, they're
but allowing,
going to
that,
be a day
to,
where
allowing
they
that to happen organically when, well, now, hey, I mean, MVS and Matt Collins left in free agency, and we love this guy. We our pro personnel people know T. Higgins or whoever it might be. Deontay Johnson. I was looking at the free agent receivers yesterday, and who could maybe they want to go after Chris Godwin or Keenan Allen. I don't know. Those guys are actually slot guys, and they have enough slot. So yeah. I just don't – I have a tough time believing that they're going to go after Davante Adams based on money, based on the competition for him. Amari Cooper, that one they might pick up the phone for. Amari Cooper is not – he's not
he's
asking –
free for money.
That's right.
Money-wise.
And he's not asking out. That would be a guy who wants to win. And if you trade for him, Cleveland would be sending him away with the idea that they, hey, well, that's a bad year for us. We're getting what we can. That's not a guy who forced his way out. And I would think the Bills, even though I don't believe for a single second that they regret the initial Diggs trade, there's no way they should, I don't think the Bills are about to go back down the road of, let's go talk to a guy that is forcing his way out of his situation. I don't think they'll go after that. The money, the compensation, all of that. I don't think they will.
Should they, though?
No.
He doesn't make them instantly better playing every single snap that Matt Collins is playing for them?
He probably...
at the X receiver spot?
He most certainly does.
I mean...
Replacing MVS or Matt Collins with Davante Adams, of course, is an obvious upgrade. But there's a lot more context there, and I just...
See,
I don't think it's the slam dunk that we've had at wide receiver trade ideas in the past.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the slam dunk that it's always been. They just traded a guy who was an, finger quotes, aging star, and that's what Davante Adams is. He's still good, but he's not top tier Davante Adams anymore.
Well, which was it? Did Diggs want out or did the Bills want out?
That's a great question. Like, every Bills fan has to kind of pick their own narrative because you're both glad that he's gone, but also mad at him.
Right. Like, because if he was a. The good soldier, by the story and by the GQ article, if he had just not said anything all off season and just like, I'm a Buffalo Bill, right? Like, I'm coming back next year, and he's just on the team. They're mad about that, or they are a worse team. Being the first words out of his mouth after they traded Stephon Diggs were, we are not a better team today.
Right, but he also said the offseason's not over and went out and drafted a receiver and added a couple more.
He added MVS and Keon Coleman in between the season and that.
Chase Claypool.
And Chase Claypool. I think everybody else was already here.
No, Quintez Cephas.
Okay.
And I want to get
oh my gosh, there was a Quintez Cephas month.
It was like 5 minutes of Quintez Cephas.
Where he was like the last name we would always mention in the group, like, but he was in the group.
And Andy Isabella. And
is he still here?
Xavier Johnson.
Okay. Can you name all the receivers from training camp?
Yeah,
go
all
14. Ahead. Who was the little guy that wore number 82? Was that Lawrence Keys?
Okay.
Was someone that was practicing for them? Just I don't know. Like they, what's more likely that everybody eats is a instrumental blueprint for how you run your offense, or it's a temporary PR campaign to explain why you traded your best player?
It's a temporary PR campaign, and it's. A PR, whatever.
It's working.
It's not over yet.
Like, they have everybody on board with them trading their second-best player. Well, a lot of people.
They definitely do not.
They have fans. They have more fans on board than they would otherwise.
Yeah, but that's because people support whatever they do. There's plenty of people that will support whatever they do.
There's a lot of people on the Everybody Eats train, I think. I'm on the receiver train over here, and I'm staring at the railroads all across town, and there's an Everybody Eats train over there, and there's people on that train.
There's people on that train when they beat Jacksonville. They lose to Baltimore, and it's like, wait a minute. Maybe I need more passes thrown to Keon Coleman.
Like, I don't think Adams is the perfect idea at all, but did you listen to Mike Jannetty of Spot Track with Bulldog yesterday?
I did.
Like, it's not untenable. Like, it is doable. You can trade for him. You lop off the whole contract after this year. And he's already got a giant chunk of that $25 million cap hit that the Raiders are on the hook for this year. Like, that is half gone already. So you'd have to do a little bit of finagling, but I think you can get there if you want him. But one, absolutely balking at the price that was out there. But to me, when you read, was it Rapoport, Pelissero, whoever said it, second round pick and an asset, to me that means they're not getting that. Right? Because that's what they're asking, which means there will be negotiations with somebody, and somebody will come in below that. And it'll be maybe it'll be a third. Maybe it'll be a fourth. I don't know. But to me, you're not paying a second-round pick to get this player. And I just have a hard time closing the door completely on an idea that does absolutely make them better. He is a better wide receiver than they have, even at this, you know... It's tough to gauge how diminished he is. He was also like the best receiver in football. So you could call him the ninth best receiver in football right now and still say that he's technically diminished. But he's also not played with a great quarterback in multiple years. What would he look like here as the X receiver? Probably a lot better than he's looking with Gardner Minshew. To me, though, like the thing that maybe has changed about this is, and I wonder if the Bills feel this way, managing expectations, being called it a transition year. It still is a transition year, but what's changed in the last month and a half from when the Bills were, you know, 2 months? Go back to when they were cutting salary, when they were cutting guys off, and, you know, Hyde's gone, Poyer's gone, and Morse is gone. They trade Diggs, Gabe Davis is gone, like all the changes. All the, hey, let's manage our expectations here. Your division now looks like a cakewalk, and now the AFC looks like it is wide open for you to take. And I wonder, like you made this point yesterday, how 2017, they went in thinking it was a rebuilding year. Midway through, things changed, and they were looking like they can make the playoffs, so they added. Months after, they sold. And I'm only a month in, and I feel like a Bills team that was maybe more, you know, oh, let's just get in. Let's just get in and see what happens. Is suddenly the division looks like a cakewalk and the Chiefs are injured, so let's go get this thing. We're trying to win the Super Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Davante Adams playing the Mac Hollins snaps isn't going to help me win the Super Bowl for, what, a third-round pick? A fourth-round pick?
Do the Bills think they can win it with Mac Hollins?
Should that be the question, though? Should the question be, do you have a better chance of winning it with the other guy?
Yeah, well,
that's the question.
There's no major cap commitment, as you pointed out. That's key because they're very important. They're very importantly wanting to shed the cap and be wide open. All right, well, they've done that. This is part of the point about how, you know, eventually they will get somebody like this. They're going to have $60 million in cap space, and they're going to have some people to pay, mm-hmm. and also some free agents that they're going to go sign, whether that's a free agent or a receiver or defensive end. I haven't bought for a single second that the Bills prefer to have no stars at receiver. I don't buy it and never have. And I'm surprised how many people do buy that.
It would be like if you could hit a magic button right now, or I could give Keon Coleman a shot of something that makes him Davante Adams.
Oh, well, that's
as good as Davante Adams right now.
Well, that's very different. That guy is 24 and paid nothing.
All right, that's fair.
I mean, I would trade a first-round pick to make Keon Coleman prime Davante Adams right now.
But you know what I mean. Then suddenly your whole offense starts going to one player again. Or not your whole
maybe.
Offense, but a much, much larger chunk of it.
Who cares? I've never cared about that. I'm never going to care about that. Is the offense good?
Right.
And the offense has been good, right? It's been good. This is one thing about the Baltimore game that I think is important context. For any Bills fan out there that says, like, wow, they lost one game and everybody's freaking out, that's not really what's happened. What's happened is we're four games in, and the receivers that aren't Shakir, and that's really it, aren't doing a whole lot. Coleman's doing enough for a rookie.
He's had two good games.
Shakir is fine. Shakir's been their most important receiver. And after that, you've got nothing. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm thinking about these receivers and I'm waiting for Curtis Samuel to show up and kind of blossom. I don't want to say quite, I'm waiting for Curtis Samuel to save the Bills.
How about just play a role?
Yeah, play a role.
Any role.
Like, Samuel got $8 million, and that's not big money, but that, whatever. Like, he was supposed to be someone that was going to take over the Diggs role, and he does not really run routes like that. They don't have him as a receiver. They're using him as a gadget guy. And then I've got MVS and Hollins, and that's not a recipe for winning. One stat on the Bills that can drive this home is against Baltimore, their receivers' separation. So the Bills' separation for their receivers, you can see it measured a bunch of different ways. I've seen some where it doesn't look great, others where it's average. But against Baltimore, the Bills had the fourth worst separation in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Translation, Baltimore can cover them. We know Jacksonville certainly can't. Jacksonville can't cover them. Can Arizona? Maybe. That was a Shakir game, right? Wasn't that mostly Shakir? Holland's got a touchdown, I guess, as well. I drive the train, Joe. I want good, young, flush receivers on this team. There were a lot of ideas that were better, I think, than Davante Adams. But
yep.
I just don't think this is the best idea. Would I rather have Davante Adams for a year on a second-round pick or wait and use that second-round pick on Keon Coleman's guy riding shotgun with him for three, four years? Because that, to me, sounds like a better idea. And if, in fact, it is a year in transition, then I'm going to see if I can win the Super Bowl in a year in transition. And next year, I'm going to use my $62 million in cap space and all that money to go in the right way. So, I don't know. This is not a... It's not like if they did it, I'd be upset. Amari Cooper is a different idea. Maybe that's a better idea. It's cheaper, which might even mean he's more expensive from a compensation standpoint.
Yep.
Anyway, a Twitter poll up. If the Bills add Davante Adams this year, if the price is right, and insert whatever price you want, something acceptable that's not too much and not a steal. You want to do it. We don't have to argue about the price. In your head, the appropriate price, would you want to do it? Yay or nay? Don't tell me like, oh, they did it for a seventh round pick. You know, like they won a bidding war here, and it's not three firsts.
Winning the bidding war might not be a second, though. I don't think they're getting a second. Third or fourth.
Well, it depends on what general manager Aaron Rodgers of the Jets wants to pay.
Yeah, well, should he...
He wants to go to the Jets, and Rodgers is going to want to play with him.
Is that, by the way, a part of this equation?
For sure.
For the Bills, I mean. If you were like on the fence about it, but you think if I don't do it, if I don't give the Raiders that one, you know, asset above the third to outbid the Jets, then he's going to my division rival. And by the way, I'm not just inclined to believe that maybe would the Raiders just trade him exactly where he wants to go, because it doesn't seem like their relationship's all that rosy right now. Wouldn't they just take the highest bid?
Maybe.
This isn't no trade clauses in the NHL. Like, he can't say no, I think, if he gets traded to a team. He could tell the team, don't do it, I guess. But I just wonder how much leverage the player has here. I think it might just be the highest bidder.
We'll get some calls in on this. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Maybe what I'm experiencing is they have so consistently underplayed this position, even in this offseason, where their biggest free agent and their biggest draft pick were receivers. They've so consistently underplayed this position, even throughout Diggs' tenure, that I have a hard time. Oh, Beckham's in for a visit. Oh, DeAndre Hopkins wants to play with Josh. Like, they don't do it. They're slow on this. And I don't really expect them to all of a sudden break out of that for a one-year rental of Davante Adams and win a bidding war for it. But I'm ready to be wrong on that. Brian in Arcade. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Hey, guys. I mean, so many different ways to go on this, so many thoughts on this. I mean, I think, number one, people got to keep in perspective that, you know, we think that we're so close to winning a Super Bowl in this town. We talk like we're the Chiefs. You went to one AFC championship game, got boat raced, and then you've lost in the divisional consistently every year since then. And what are the common denominators? I mean, Allen running for his life. I think Baltimore provided you a nice picture of playoff future. Allen having to dive and make plays out of bounds because he has no receivers to throw to. I don't understand the honor in dying on the hill waiting for Curtis Samuel to develop a role. I heard Brady yesterday talking about, yes, I'll do a better job of getting him involved and like being a part. I don't want to wait for that. His career high is 800 yards receiving, and he's mostly 600 yards receiving, and the average isn't that amazing, and he's never been this big touchdown player. Why do I have to wait for Keon Coleman to become Randy Moss and wait another year for this? And then Mac Hollins, well, he's in the Gabe Davis role and he blocks really well. I think it's psychotic that we don't have the urgency in this town to want to win. Allen is in his seventh year. He's 28. The other pieces of this team are not getting younger. I mean, Vaughn is at the end. You've got a 30-year-old left tackle. Rasul Douglas is not getting any younger. You have injuries all in the linebacker group. I mean, Milano's almost 30. I don't understand the urgency. Why are you dying on this hill of we need a rotational band of receivers to prove to ourselves that we don't need a star? What is the point of that? If teams take away James Cook, your offense is neutered because there's nowhere to go. Khalil Shakir is not going to become a number one. Sorry, everyone. I mean, I don't understand why you can't see that talent wins in this league. Why do you force Allen to and then this Dalton Kincaid experiment as well. Like, why can't we just say what he is? He's a high-level, maybe possession tight end. That's what he is. He's not going to stretch the seam. We're 20 games in. Like, if he could do it, he would have done it already. We don't have to keep pretending on these experiments. Just say what reality is instead of banking on development like the Sabres. It's just not a good recipe. Get an all-pro receiver, and he'll play like one. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Look at your second-round picks. Cody Ford, Boogie Basham, you know, Cole, the safety we took.
Cole Bishop.
Bishop. Yeah, exactly.
Keon Coleman.
Any of those guys, if the price was a second-round pick, would any of those players, okay, Osiris Torrance, you want to name a good one, like any of those players, would you rather have DK Metcalf, who you could have had in the second round, or Davante Adams? Like, no, give me the star. When other teams want to give you their stars, what I've learned in pro sports is let them give you your stars, because your draft picks are never going to be as good as those established players. You're never going to take a receiver in the second round, late second round by you, that's going to be better. I mean, you've got the Vikings' second-round pick from the Texans. That looks like that's going to be a late second-rounder at this point. The Bills looks like a late second-rounder at this point. You're not going to find a receiver in late second round. Javon Baker, like for the Patriots, McMillan, who is going to be as good as Davante Adams, even at 31. We act like we're so good in this town. Like, we've won so many titles. Well, he's too old. He's too expensive. I don't understand. The urgency to win a Super Bowl, guys. We have not had it.
Well, thanks, Brian. I think a lot of what you said is right. Davante Adams was a late second-round pick, for what it's worth.
I was going to say, that's the one thing I liked a lot of that. I think the one thing, like, and you even mentioned the one other name, DK Metcalf was a late second-round pick.
There's a ton of second-round receivers that are awesome.
I don't know what
and
your
Keon
odds
And Keon Coleman
are.
Might be the next one, or one of the next ones. But there are a ton of second-round receivers that are great.
Not to say your odds are great at it. You know, they're certainly lower than 50-50. I mean, they're below that.
In 8 years of Josh Allen's career, they've spent how many young draft picks on a second-round receiver or higher?
Mm-hmm.
How many? One?
One.
Zay Jones was before they picked Allen, right? Since they picked Josh Allen, they have used a second-round pick, and that's Keon Coleman. It just happened that they used it a first- or second-round pick on a young receiver, not going out and acquiring Diggs, which is spending a first, but you know they've not invested at the position. They've done it with Gabe Davis in the fourth and Khalil Shakir in the fifth, and who else? Justin Shorter. In the fifth. They've not spent prime capital on the position, and they're trying to get away with doing that.
I do have a hard time disagreeing with the one phrase Brian said, which is when another team wants to give you their stars, let them give you their stars. Does Davante Adams help them win the Super Bowl? Yes. I don't want to be close to it. I'm not saying it's perfect. I do not want to be close to it.
I'm certainly not close to it. And it's funny because I'm sitting here telling you, I do not believe the Bills' current PR campaign, but I do believe that they will stick to it for at least a year, which is, no, everybody eats. I don't believe it, but I think they will stick to it for a year and see how it goes. So they can clear their cap and then go spend, you know, $30 million on whoever it might be. 803-0550. Thanks, Brian. What do you think? Yay or nay? You interested in this idea? Amari Cooper? Are you tired of hearing people freak out because they lost one game? I do think that the conversation about Adams would be had even if they had beaten Baltimore.
I agree with that. I do agree with that.
There are plenty of people that even at 3-0, I mean, the Jacksonville game was one where it looked like they had a good group. But 2-0, we had plenty of conversations like, you know, they really haven't had to lean on their receivers yet. Then they beat Jacksonville. They still didn't really have to. So they're going to be tougher games, and maybe they can win it. That's the best point to me, Joe. Will Bean look at this and say, like, you know, we should probably do something here. What if we could win it now without having to give up too much and, you know, mortgage the future? All right. Good morning. 803-0550 is our phone number. It is Wednesday. Sal joins us at 7, the latest on Von Miller, his four-game suspension. You know, it's how the NFL operates. We'll get into that a little bit as well. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.